KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
ProtonTherapy.com.
This is 94.9 KUOW Seattle. I'm Steve Scher with Katie Sewell. A room full of volunteers, of a group coming together from the Washington State Animal Rescue Team. And your pledge of support waiting to be made at 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. We were talking with Steven Pinker, and he was talking about, you know, your truths, individuals' truths, and then trying to get to the truth and how people come to these ideas and they hold them closely because they have their truths, and that's what they want to hold on to. And, you know, Katie and I were completely enjoying with you, I hope, the wonderful sound of the day that was sent. And we laughed because we enjoyed this idea of searching for a critter that was just a zipper. It was very funny, enjoyable, when we laughed. And we were laughing, we were having a good time. So truths and understanding and why we're here and who we're talking to. Stephen Michael writes, amazing to hear you guys losing it on the air. I pledge not to pledge. So that's his truth. That's his little frame of reality, though he's listening. That's his little frame of reality. That's who you're working with. That's who the other folks are in the room who are looking at you smugly and saying, yeah, pledge to public radio. That's kind of like saying, donate blood. I don't need to donate blood. You are the person we're reaching out to because you understand what community is about. You understand how truths are formed and then how egos can get in the way of truths and sort of obscure what a real truth is. You're the person in public radio that we're hoping, expecting, will reach out and call at 206-543-9595. And we would like to hear from you.
Perhaps at toll-free, 1-866-NPR-KOW, 1-866-677-5869. Or perhaps online at KOW.org. We have a challenge, Steve.
Soon there will be no more challenges.
Yes.
And we will be done.
So here, once again, we offer you a challenge that you may step up to or not step up to, but we're hoping you'll step up. For those of you who have yet to renew or become new members, pledge at the $100 level and have that money matched by Don and Sandy. Don and Sandy want to match your pledge of $100 to the first 10 of you who pledge at 206-543-9595.
Don and Sandy are saying, all right, this is what public radio is worth to us. We're Broadcast Circle members. It's worth $1,000 a year. But you know what? We'd like to give you this money, but we would like you to get 10 other people to join me. We're all in that big old stadium together, and they're looking around their section, and they're saying, how many of you think this is a great game, a great service? Join us. We'll put up $1,000. Would you put up 10? It's a way to double our money, but it's also a way to encourage you to see yourself as part of this, as part of a community of people who do understand how it functions. And this is the process, right? We come on the air twice a year. We spend some time raising this money so that the rest of the time, this service that you depend on is here, healthy, happy. And so that everybody, even the people who say, nah, I'm not going to pledge, I don't need blood, they also will enjoy it because you have stepped up. You're doing the hard work.
206-543-9595. In some ways, what your reframing of the pledge drive is, don't be a curmudgeon, you know?
Oh, I think I'm using different words.
Well, that was me simplifying.
You were cleaning it up.
You know, look at the bigger picture of the type of community that you want to live in and how you want to participate in that community. If KUOW is something that you value having on the air, civil conversations, personalities you recognize, news from all over the world, we're asking for your support at 206-543-9595 or online, KUOW.org.
Yeah, think of the folks who have been listening all this time and don't pledge and don't intend to pledge. Yeah, I'm not going to pledge. I don't need to pledge. I'll just use the service. I'll just come every day and siphon off the water that other people have pumped. Well, you don't do that. You're not that person. And that's why most of you have already pledged your support. And you're saying, well, when's Vaughn Palmer coming on? When are we talking to Robert Horton? When's Todd Bishop going to talk to us about what's happening in the tech world? All that's coming up because people have paid for it. People have kept this service strong. Join us. Have Don and Sandy's $1,000 met and donated with your pledge of $100, 10 of you. We're looking for your call, 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. We're counting down to the end of the drive. We want to make our goal. We get there when you join us.
One step at a time. Margie says, thank you so much for keeping me current and informed and always in touch. I always appreciate the laughter and the stories that warm my heart. Laughter, Steve. Most appreciated.
Always
and Kim wrote, sent a note to me. We were talking about people being able to send notes. Kim says hi to me, who we've known. She's known me since I moved to Washington. I can only imagine that this is Kim Helsel talking. But if it's not, feel free to send me an email. Kim Helsel, she says, you know, it's fun to hear you on the radio. I listen to you regularly on the show you produce.
That's great. We are looking for you to join us in being a part of. We know each other. I meet people on the street and they go, oh, you're. They go, yeah, and you are, and we talk because we are always together in the room together. And we are asking you, as we're in the room together, let's all do the heavy lifting together. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. Thanks.
KUOW would like to acknowledge the businesses that have donated food and beverages for our volunteers during our pledge drive, especially Chocolopolis, Terra Organics, Peak's Frozen Custard, and Cabot Creamery Cooperative. Thank you for supporting KUOW.
Support for KUOW comes from University Bookstore. Dr. Hawa Abdi, along with her daughters, has helped her fellow citizens in Somalia remain safe, healthy, and educated. She'll read and discuss her memoir, Keeping Hope Alive, from Hachette, Saturday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at University Temple United Methodist Church.
It's a story we need to remind ourselves of, because there are still things in American society which need to be changed. And maybe this will help give us the courage to do that.
Abortion is legal in Canada, and this government, myself included, have made it very clear that the government does not intend to change the law in this regard.
Microsoft has decided to discontinue its support for its popular operating system, Microsoft Windows XP, starting in 2014.
Some of the fates of technology, which we will go over with Todd Bishop, some of the fates in movies, and some of the fates for politicians in Canada, which we shall go over with Vaughn Palmer right now. Vaughn Palmer is political correspondent with the Vancouver Sun. He joins us every week through the good graces of this public radio service and your support. Hello, Vaughn.
Good morning, Steve, and good luck in the fundraising drive. I always do the show during that, and we've been here for a while doing this.
Yeah, because, and I appreciate that, and we all do. All right, so tell me something. We didn't get to a lot of politics last week, so let's get to some this week. Let's start with the Trudeau return.
The return of the Trudeau name to Canadian politics, and it's the biggest political story in Canada by a considerable margin. Pierre Trudeau, one of our longest-serving prime ministers and one of our most admired ones, not just among Canadians but around the world, his son, Justin, next weekend will be chosen the leader of Trudeau's old party. They haven't actually announced the results of the vote yet, but it's taken as a foregone conclusion that Justin will be the next leader of the Liberal Party and hopes to lead the party to a revival and to take office as prime minister in our next federal election, which will be in about 2 or 3 years. I know it's unheard of for Americans to think of a son succeeding the father in the top job, but here we go.
Yeah, we don't do that here, Vaughn. We don't do
Pardon?
That here.
Yeah.
You know, how is he being received?
Well, I guess there's two storylines here, and I'll give you both of them. First of all, there's no question Justin Trudeau, he's 41 years old, father of two. Certainly seems to have inherited his father's magnetic personality in that regard. He's already become a major fundraiser for the Liberal Party, and the Liberals are in third place in Canada. They fell to third place in our last election after the Conservatives and the New Democrats, and the party's looking to revive itself. So you can see why a party that needs to revive itself is going to choose the most exciting prospect they have. The other storyline on Justin Trudeau is that he's all good looks and good name and no substance. That when he gets the leadership, it'll be one of those charisma stories that we're familiar with in politics, which is somebody gets the job because of the excitement they generate, and they get in there, and the more experienced political leaders, the tougher ones, the leaders of substance, end up revealing that the guy just doesn't have a lot of substance and doesn't have much to say. The real key point of comparison there, Steve, is to look at his father's resume when he took office as a lawyer, as one of the country's leading constitutional scholars, as an intellectual of the first rank, and Justin, who was a school teacher, which there's no shame in that, but nothing like his father's resume on the intellectual side. And there's a feeling that he's got the personality and the name, but he will be shown not to have the substance.
But, you know, I read this bio, Vaughn, and here's Pierre was handed a safe liberal seat, never had to worry about winning his own riding. Justin was forced to run for the liberal nomination in the Seesaw Montreal riding of Papineau, then beat a popular Bloc Québécois incumbent in 2008. He held the seat in 2011. I mean, he's been a little more rough and tumble into the politics, it sounds like.
Yeah, I still think very unproven on the substance side. He's up against two very capable leaders. Whatever one thinks of Stephen Harper, and an awful lot of Canadians don't like him, he's not a lightweight, our prime minister. He's a very substantive figure, and he has brought his party back into contention in Canada, and he's been prime minister since 2006. The New Democrats, who surged into second place in the last national election, are led by Thomas Mulcair, again a former cabinet minister from Quebec. Again, whatever one thinks of him, no one dismisses him as a lightweight. So Justin Trudeau will be subjected to a lot of scrutiny, and there's a feeling that those two more capable and more experienced politicians and leaders are just waiting for him. So this is going to be a fascinating story. We will know. Justin Trudeau's not going to get a lot of time to grow into that job. He is going to come under scrutiny right away. I mean, you think of the kind of pressure that would be on him. He must have a certain level of fortitude to even put himself into this kind of scrutiny. So this is going to be the very interesting political story of the year in Canada. And as I said, I don't know how it's going to play out. He's got the leadership. That's the first step. But we're still waiting to see how he performs once he's got the scrutiny that comes with it.
All right, Vaughn, and how about in B.C.? How about the leadership there?
We're headed for an election in British Columbia. We have a fixed election date. It's May 14th. It's always the second Tuesday in May by law. But what they normally do is they dissolve the legislature 4 weeks before the election, so that'll be next Tuesday. And then the final sort of very exciting phase of the campaign begins. Obviously, we've been in campaign mode for a while. I attended a fundraising dinner with Premier Christy Clark on Monday night. She set a record, brought in about $750,000 in a big dinner on Monday night. I attended a press conference yesterday with the Leader of the Opposition, Adrian Dix, who announced some additional financial assistance for our troubled film industry here in B.C. The opinion polls suggest that Dix is well ahead. The lead ranges from 15 to 20 points. That would be a landslide. Our elections in the past here, Steve, have tended to tighten up in that last few weeks. We've tended to have closer elections, maybe 4 points. But with the lack of momentum for the Liberals this year, and I think a mood in the province for time for a change, it'll be surprising if Dix is not the next premier of British Columbia.
Do we have a clear idea of what Dix stands for, what he will do?
He started to lay that out. The New Democrats are the party of the left in Canada, and they've been on the left in British Columbia when they've been in government. He's ruled out a return to some of the very high taxes we had the last time they were in power. So he's positioning himself as more moderate and that sort of thing. Says he'll put his emphasis on training and educating young British Columbians, on closing the gap in income equality in British Columbia by giving people more opportunities. So he's touted a more moderate platform. We haven't gotten the full platform yet. Should be out tomorrow or the next day, so be able to talk more about that later on. But he's certainly trying to position himself as a more moderate leader than his party was the last time it was in power, when he was chief of staff to the other Premier Clark, Glenn Clark, who was Premier of British Columbia during the 1990s.
So, Vaughn, the thing about the money, Christy Clark raising that money, are the elections in Canada following the elections in America, where more money is being raised, spent, and influencing voters?
Nothing like the scale in the United States. Here in British Columbia, corporations and organizations and trade unions are still allowed to give money directly to political parties, and the corporate sector gave $5 million to the BC Liberals last year and $1 million to the New Democrats. But nationally and in most other Canadian provinces, only individuals are allowed to give money to political parties, and they're only allowed to give $1,000. So they don't. Elsewhere, there's already a limit. One thing Dix has said, the New Democrat has said, is if he wins the election, as expected, he will follow the lead of other Canadian provinces and he will outlaw union and corporate donations and no donations from organizations, restrict donations only to individuals.
That's interesting. There's a move afoot here to do that, of course, as well. Doesn't have much support.
Yeah, but the U.S. Supreme Court rejected it, didn't it?
Right, yeah. Well, you know, people could pursue it in other ways, but yeah, no, it's been rejected as a violation of the First Amendment, so there you are.
Every debate, Steve, on this issue in Canada, and I was just listening to one on the radio station that I work for in Vancouver this morning, somebody always says we do not want to go the way they have in the United States with the massive amounts of money that are raised, particularly from interest groups and the corporate sector. We do not want to head that route. And so that's always the message here in Canada.
All right, Vaughn, I appreciate you giving us the messages from Canada. We'll be in touch again.
Talk to you next week.
Vaughn Palmer is political correspondent for the Vancouver Sun. He joins us every week on weekday, in large part because of your support to this public radio service. You know, Vaughn writes for the Vancouver Sun. They pay him a salary. He goes on these radio stations in Canada, and then he joins us through the good graces of his own offices, if I may, because he enjoys it. You have given him great feedback and shared your appreciation, and we do it because of something that has been a tradition since when I first started here, and Marcia Alvar was the program director and hosted Seattle Afternoon, and a journalist named Marjorie Nichols was our regular Canadian correspondent. And Marcia's point was, hello, there's this other country just a few hundred miles away from us, and we don't get good news about that country. You know, at the time, there was no internet. It was hot. You know, there were no newspapers online. And you had to search pretty far and wide to get news from Canada. And that was her commitment. And that commitment has been handed down over the years because we know you value it. Because we know that you're a Canadian listening. You live near the border. You live in this northwest region. You're part of Ecotopia. We need this information. We need to know what's happening in Canada. So Vaughn said, all right, I'll do that with you guys. And you guys have supported it all these years. And that is why this public radio station, when we talk about an institution that has been built and goes on, that's what we're talking about. This news from Canada, a lot more accessible, but a lot more people also informed because of it.
206-543-9595. Number to call, toll free 1-866-NPR KWW. 1-866-677-5869. Steve, you might remember that I promised listeners who call and pledge their support to 206-543-9595 that I might be willing to be bribed to mention particular events. And I got this from Walter. Walter says, I listen and occasionally I send a comment. I just wanted to let you know that we are continuing Evergreen members, which means his pledge renews every year automatically, which I believe is better than renewing our membership during the drive. But as with giving blood, please mention the Spectrum Dance Performance Cruel New World New Normal this weekend with tickets available on the Spectrum Dance website. This is a thought-provoking piece on the change in society as a result of the 11-11, mm-hmm. choreographed by Donald Byrd and performed by the over-the-top Spectrum Dance Company. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Walter. Thank you for being an Evergreen member. He also promised that if I mention this, he will stop asking us to bring Cliff Mass back. So I'm holding you to that, Walter. I'm holding you to
very
it.
Very good. You know, and you know who Donald Byrd is, and you know about Spectrum because Marcy Silman and has reported and interviewed Donald Byrd, has reported on the Spectrum Dance Company because we pay attention to what's happening in all facets of our world because we understand that truths are found through many different venues. So we know about the art. We know about what's important. And we know that what Donald Byrd does and what he brings to our community is critical to what we care about. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. Stephen Cady from Sandy. I just heard you read the note from the curmudgeon. I recently finished high school in web design and cannot wait to land a job and be able to get back to evergreen status to start. The guy who commented is obviously listening to KUOW, but completely misses the mark. Thank you and KUOW. I really value public radio and look forward to giving back for all it has added to my local and world knowledge. Cheers, Sandy. Sandy does not miss the mark. Sandy is spot on the mark. And that's why we ask you to pledge your support to this radio service, because you are using it. It's important to all of us. It's part of our community.
206-543-9595. We want to hear those phones ring. We want to keep making these goals. Why? Because the pledge drive ends when we reach our overall goal. And we are getting close.
Oh,
it is in sight.
We're tumbling down here.
168,000 to go.
702.
Oh, 702. So you could pledge at the $2 level to get us an even number there.
I was going to opt for the $102 level, but okay.
Okay, fine. I don't know that anybody's ever pledged $2. I feel like if that's the level that works for you, give us a call. 206-543-9595.
1-866-677-5869. You were going to say?
Oh, well, Deborah called and pledged her support in response to that email that we got of the person pledging not to pledge. Deborah says, hey, I loved hearing Steve and Katie lose it. I loved hearing them rummy and laughing over the sound of the day.
It was a great sound of the day. And what if, can you imagine yourself in that situation? What is that noise?
Where is that critter? I cannot find it.
Oh, it's my zipper.
Oh, it's my zipper.
And, you know, the sound of the day, that's you sharing with us sounds of your day because we asked for it and because we needed it, because we wanted to be a part of it. Give us a call.
206-543-9595. Kayla from Bainbridge Island says, hey, thank you, Steve Scher, because you lost it on the air. I am pledging.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Who was that guy, Crazy Mike? I'm slashing prices. I'm going crazy.
I'm going to lose it on the air if you pledge your support to 206-543-9595. Do it now, 206-543-9595. And thank you.
Thank you. Robert Horton, that's a classic thing, isn't it, Crazy Mike? You know, he's slashing. I'm slashing tires. No, he's slashing prices. Let's hope he's not slashing
Steve,
tires.
Steve, you're talking about, you're flashing back to your own youth, I think.
I'm slashing tires. Robert Horton reviews movies for us. He is a writer for The Herald and Everett. The Crop Duster is his website. He also hosts the Magic Lantern series. Also, he talks with film critics about criticizing films.
And slashing tires occasionally.
Tires. A reviewer. He's a film reviewer. Do you like the phrase critic or do you like reviewer?
Wow. They're slightly different things.
I know.
They are both fine for what they describe.
You a critic or a reviewer?
I would like to think that I'm a critic, perhaps.
Is that a higher level of analysis?
I think so. I have done things other than my movie reviewing for newspapers, but I also do that. So I guess I wear both hats, maybe.
Which, by the way,
they
charming
look fine
today. Yes,
a man in two hats. Never trust a man in two hats.
Yeah. I watched on TMC, I believe it's TMC. No, Turner Classic Movies, TCM.
Yes.
Got to get that right.
Yes,
TCM. I watched The Kid from Left Field, 1953.
Yes,
Dan Daly.
Right. Right.
Baseball movie that I had never seen.
I think I saw that on the afternoon movie many, many years ago. Yeah.
Fine baseball movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was about family, too, Robert.
Well.
And it was about.
Okay.
It was about believing in yourself and in others.
Against the backdrop of baseball, which has served as a nice backdrop for many such stories over the years.
So now we have a new baseball movie.
We do. Along with the beginning of the new season, we have a film that has been talked about for many, many years. A lot of people were going to make a biography of Jackie Robinson, for probably going back to the 1950s. But nobody ever quite got it made, and they got it made. Somebody got it made, and it's the title is 42, which is, of course, his number, the number that has been retired throughout Major League Baseball. And it turns out it's opening on Fridays in time for the first, it's not still the first week of baseball season, but we're pretty close to it, I guess.
I read a review in the New Yorker, which reviewed the movie by talking about the man who shot Liberty Valance, where Jimmy Stewart tells the story of what truly happened when that old evil fellow Liberty Valance was shot. And the reviewer made the point that that movie ended with the newspaper man hearing the story, and at the end of that movie, the newspaper man tears up the story that Jimmy Stewart has told, the truth, and says, when the truth becomes legend, print the legend.
I'm trying to figure out how
did they do the truth in Jackie Robinson, or did they give us the legend? Because Jackie Robinson was a complex, yes, sometimes bitter man.
Yes,
in his later life.
Well, the way I would respond to that, though I'm not an expert on the life of Jackie Robinson, is that by concentrating on a roughly 2-year period in Jackie Robinson's life, they have distilled the story of his breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball to that essence, to that process, and the stuff that happened, things that happened before that, are occasionally alluded to. A couple of incidents. He was, for instance, he was court-martialed when he was in the military service for refusing to take a segregated place literally on a bus, which he was later absolved of. They do mention that in the film. They don't talk a lot about what happened after his rookie season in the majors. So I guess I see what I haven't read that piece. I guess I see what they're saying, but this is, I think, in some ways, this is the way to make a biopic, too, by concentrating on one period and the subject.
So it doesn't have to be his entire complexity of his life.
Maybe you're not telling the life story of Jackie Robinson. Maybe you're telling the story of how baseball changed.
And did America change with baseball? That's been the subject of many a book. I know Scott Simon, that was his book when he wrote about Jackie Robinson.
It was an important turning point. It was important, very visible, and it was not... As the movie shows an extraordinary amount of vitriol directed at Robinson, and this is true, and players on his own team who started a petition.
Well, he was a hero. He was a hero for so many reasons. Does he come across as a hero in the movie?
Oh yeah, they're not going to make a Jackie Robinson story that is along the lines of, say, I Walk the Line, where you get into the dark side and you know the complexities, to use your word, and all that. It's clearly it's a film that's designed to be shown in classrooms for the next few decades.
Uh-huh.
That's it. It's an important story. It's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. Did you like it as a movie?
I have to say I enjoyed it. I knew that there would be a certain patina of official teaching tool about it, and yet I think it does a few small things in terms of keeping Robinson at the center of the story instead of seeing it through the eyes of his white teammate or from the perspective of Branch Rickey, the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, the man who made the decision to go ahead and break the race barrier. It does try to stay with Robinson and his wife and see it from their perspective. It also doesn't stint on language. The movie's rated PG-13, and it would ordinarily be, for a fairly tame biopic, those things are PG, and they're supposed to be, family-friendly, because this is an inspirational story, of course. And it's PG-13 because of language, and you know what language I'm talking about. It's the stuff that Robinson was called
the hate language.
By opposing managers and players and fans, and that was rained down on him, not just during his rookie year, but I'm sure throughout his career. And that's an entirely justified decision to do that, because otherwise you would be participating in in whitewashing some of the stuff that was hurled at him.
You know, I have not seen in so long that I do not remember the Jackie Robinson story.
Yes.
Which was the movie that was made about Jackie Robinson's career, starring Jackie Robinson and Ruby Dee.
Ruby Dee,
by the
very
way.
Very young Ruby Dee, right, as his wife.
Have you seen that recently? Do you have any memory of it?
I have seen it recently, not in the last couple of years, but I think it's one of those public domain movies, so it actually pops up on TV periodically. And, you know, it's a kind of a stiff film. And it's kind of interesting as a historical artifact, but it's not much of a movie. I suppose you wouldn't really expect it to be. But yeah, I was enjoying your conversation about framing,
yeah,
and putting frames around things, which is what we do, and certainly what movies do.
Yeah.
That's the whole ballgame in a film, is where you put the frame and what that frame is showing you. And, you know, my frame in watching this movie was I didn't really expect that it would tear the cover off the Jackie Robinson story and show us the whole unvarnished thing. And maybe that's a shortcoming of the film, and it probably is, but it clearly is doing something else. And for what it's doing, I think a fairly admirable job. The writer-director is a guy named Brian Helgeland, who I think has done some interesting work. He hasn't been working much lately, but I've kind of enjoyed his career. And he doesn't flub a lot in this movie. It is not a groundbreaking film, but it's a pretty well rendered picture.
Well, I like Me the Baseball Movie. I'm a sucker for it.
Yes,
because of every bit of metaphor and Americana that comes into it. I will watch The Natural, especially the last 20 minutes of it. And I don't like the book, because the book ends much differently.
Oh, you
than the
don't
movie.
Like the book.
Well, the book is great.
Yes.
But the book and the movie are...
You
like,
want the wish fulfillment.
I want the ending. I don't want Roy Hobbs stumbling down,
wow,
you know,
okay,
the alleyway. I want Roy Hobbs hitting the home run and playing catch with his kid at the end of that.
Well, yes. I know what you're saying. And that's an interesting topic, because the book... I mean, the movie... I think it's an interesting movie, but it definitely sells out the book when it goes into that final stage and the original vision of the thing. But yeah, I mean, that is a strong sort of wish.
But you see, there you go. That was a 70. Was that 70s? That was Malamud's book, and then the Natural
was from the 60s. But
yeah,
I think
60s, 70s. That was, see, they did anti-hero. They did tear the cover off.
Yeah,
they wouldn't probably make a movie like that about Jackie Robinson today. Our frame has changed again, and we don't want to see the other Jackie Robinson.
And well, if there was one, I don't know that much about him. But
well, he was a little more realistic about what his impact was on the people who were calling him names over
yeah,
the decades.
Yeah,
and on the American culture that was, you know, growing those people.
Yeah. Well, you know, about baseball movies, I mean, it is interesting because nowadays there's been so much writing about baseball as national mythology, and people tend to go into rhapsodies. And I'm a baseball fan, so I tend to agree with that. But it's hard for people now to make just a simple movie about baseball. It tends to get, you know, weighted down with a certain self-conscious kind of myth making.
Yeah, I didn't see Trouble. I didn't see Trouble with the Curve. What was that like? That was the last baseball
movie. I missed that. That's the Eastwood film. I haven't seen that film yet.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
I'm curious. I have to add that to the list, because that's. It sounds like it's another film that uses baseball as a background.
So, all right, give me a few before we're done here, because I see that I've run into pledge drive time. What are your? I've exceeded it. Have I exceeded it? I'm still good. What are your baseball movies?
Well, just aside from the obvious ones, I've always had a soft spot for the Bad News Bears.
Really?
Baseball movie. I mean, that movie came out in the 70s when I was still a young person and the kind of person who had time to go to movies more than once.
So this is the Walter Matthau version.
Yeah, the first one. And
is it Billy Bob?
Oh, the remake, yes. The remake was kind of interesting, but it didn't have it wasn't as fun as the...
It wasn't as much love.
First one. But you know what you were just saying about the 70s and attitudes? The Bad News Bears actually is a very 70s kind of sarcastic movie. We had the resurgence of Field and Dreams and all that in the 80s, but back in the 70s, it was still there was still some good old healthy cynicism about the whole thing. And I think it's a really fun movie. Also, just You know, Ken Burns' baseball, that epic, long, I don't know how many hours it stretched out to, 12 or, you know, however
I believe it was like one of the extra inning games that were played in the last
year. Yeah, it goes on and on. But it is very good. And if you ever have one of those weeks where you have to take a couple days off because you're sick, this is how I watched it, because I remember I taped it all, and then who has time to watch that? And I got sick, and so I sat down and watched it. It's really terrific. And he spends a lot of time on the Negro Leagues, tracing that story throughout. He does not treat it as a footnote or a postscript or a, and this happened. He sees it as an essential part of the story of baseball in America. And it goes throughout that whole thing, and it's an incredible story, and it's one of the reasons that's, I think, one of his best documentaries.
That's great. And of course, it is the essential part.
It's really a good film.
All right, give me one more. Do you have Bingo Long on your list?
I did write that down. That's a really fun movie. Also about the era of the Negro Leagues, and it's got a great cast of 70s actors in it, and has a certain. It's a funny film and carries its story really well in a really fun way that maybe a film like the official Jackie Robinson biography can't,
yeah.
You know, because there are certain expectations that you're going to have to live up to. And I think 42 does that pretty professionally and at times admirably, but it's hampered by its official status, I suppose, in many ways. But now I have to go home and read that New Yorker article that you're talking about, because I missed that. I'll have to see what the point of that was.
That when the truth becomes the legend, you print the legend.
Yes, I know the scene. Although, of course, the irony of the man who shot Liberty Valance, we should say, is that the director John Ford has just told you the non-legend part of it.
Yeah,
that makes it a far more complex story.
Yeah. Hence John Ford being a great filmmaker.
I think so.
Hey, they ever made a baseball movie? Yes, please.
I'm going to be out at the Woodinville Library on Sunday afternoon at 2:00.
Playing catch?
And I'll be playing catch before and after the talk. And during the actual talk, I will be talking about food and film, how film turns food into art.
Oh, that sounds
and
great.
If that doesn't make you curious, I don't know what's wrong.
That sounds
so
great.
Come out and join us. It's a free,
we
free
should,
talk.
Can we have that conversation on the air as well?
We could do that.
I would like
to do
that.
That.
All right, doctor. You're a doctor of movieology.
Wow.
I've just made that for you. Robert Horton is the crop duster. He's the framing pictures. He's the magic lantern. He writes for the Herald in Everett, or the Everett Herald. And he comes on this show and shares with us. Appreciate it.
Take two aspirin and call me in the morning, Steve.
I'll take two movies. Take two baseball movies and call you in the morning. And a little later, let's have a catch. A little natural for you. Oh, no, that was, excuse me, a Field of Dreams for you.
Hi, I'm back.
Yes.
Katie Sewell here, mentioning that Barb from Bainbridge Island pledged an additional $2 because Steve and Katie mentioned that no one had ever pledged $2. Thanks, Barb. That's great.
Very funny.
Meanwhile, Carol from Bellevue says that I love KUOW. So those are just two comments that we've received since this conversation with you and Robert were going on. You know, because you can continue to keep calling 206-543-9595 while we're having these excellent discussions. So when Todd Bishop is on, you can still call 206-543-9595. Help us end this drive. Can you read the number up there, Steve? How much more do we have to go?
We have exceeded our goal. We're at $15,399. The overall goal of this fine pledge drive is $950,000, and we're at, they haven't updated it. We have $168,000 or so to go. You know, here's a great email that came at 8:16 this morning, but I just want to read it again.
Okay.
Jesse in Seattle is a new member who says, "To be honest, I hate the pledge drive, but my ex-husband, who is volunteering downstairs right now or then at 8:16, asked me how often I contribute between drives. And I had to admit that he has a point. I listen to KUOW every day. Our 9-year-old listens. And if we want to keep listening, we need to support it." Exactly right. We can say nothing clearer than that. We are looking for your call. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. We'll take a short break. We'll talk to Todd Bishop. We will remind you that public radio is important to you.
KUOW would like to acknowledge the volunteers from Washington State Animal Rescue Team who are answering phones this morning in the pledge room. Thank you for supporting KUOW.
Support for KUOW comes from the Cornell Queens Executive MBA program, designed for mid-career managers and professionals, offering weekend classes in Seattle. Local admissions events April 22nd and 23rd. Information and event registration at cornellseattle.com.
KUOW and Bremerton Community Theater present Urinetown, the musical. In this satirical comedy, a severe water shortage results in harsh laws regulating restroom use, and violators are exiled to the penal colony Urinetown, April 5th through May 5th. Learn more on the events page at KUOW.org.
Todd Bishop, who is the co-founder and national editor of GeekWire.
That's what my daughter calls it, is GeekWire.
GeekWire, that's terrible. He reports on fraternities and sororities around the country. GeekWire, an independent technology news site based in Seattle. He's a former online and ink-stained newspaper reporter.
That's right.
As well.
And KUOW member.
And KUOW member. Thank you. He tweeted, I'm on at weekday KUOW shortly, talking about the latest tech news, 94.9 FM in Seattle. Tweet me while I'm on the air and I'll multitask. So challenged, sir.
We'll see.
So
we'll
challenged.
See how that goes.
Tweet me while I'm on the air. If he starts talking right in the middle of a sentence and goes,
at.
And we'll know what's going on. All right, then. Tech news.
That's right.
I did not know that Windows XP support was going to be
That's
done.
Right.
I think I still have a computer with XP.
Lots of people do. 40% of the computers around the world, roughly, are still running Windows XP, which originally came out, do you know this trivia, in 2001.
Is that right?
People will dispute that that's actually how old it is because they did a big refresh, you know, in the mid 2000s.
Does that tell us something about the stability and success of the platform?
It was a very solid platform, and it also tells us a lot about the instability and lack of success of its successor, Windows Vista. A lot of people were afraid to upgrade from XP to Vista, and that's one reason why XP has stuck around for so long. But the news is that 1 year from now, Microsoft is officially ending all support for Windows XP. So for home users, that means you won't be getting those critical security updates anymore. Hmm. For business users, you won't be getting any kind of extended support if you have a major problem with your machines. And so basically, you have 1 year to make this transition.
Isn't that sort of a standard operating procedure?
It is. It is. And it's just a little bit unusual this time around because Windows XP has stuck around so long and because there are still so many people using it. I think you're still going to see at least in the teens, if not more, percentages of people using XP when support expires. It's either the most successful product that Microsoft has ever come out with or you know, the biggest pain in its butt.
It's so interesting, though, that they have this product that stays alive. They don't support it, but how do they relate to it? How do they think about it?
They try to not relate. It's kind of like that cousin over in the corner on Thanksgiving where it's like, you know, that guy's just, he was kind of fun back, you know, back in the 2001. But wow, boy, I've kind
of
moved on.
Lots that's, of lies
that's
over
how they
there.
Treat it. Exactly.
Hair's growing long. Huh. Where are they focusing their support and their basically their tech support?
Primarily on Windows 8. Now, the real focus is Windows 7 in terms of that. That's where a lot of the businesses are now. People are shifting to Windows 7, and that is a solid operating system. Microsoft, though, is trying to get people to upgrade to Windows 8, and that's one of the things they did this week with 1 year left to go. They said, okay, you know, small and medium businesses, here's a discount on Windows 8 if you upgrade to Office and Windows 8 at the same time.
And given Windows 8, will they be satisfied? Is it a stronger product?
It's going to be tough. I think for a lot of people on XP, especially who clearly are not, you know, on the cutting edge, you know, for better or worse, they're not on the cutting edge. Windows 7, if they can get their hands on it, is going to be a much more reliable operating system for them.
All right.
Or at least a more familiar operating system.
You also did a story this week. This is your headline for it. A prominent analyst is predicting that tablets will replace notebooks and desktops as our primary means of computing. They haven't yet?
Well, for a lot of people, the notebook computer is still the workhorse, and the desktop is still the thing that we, you know, put most of our focus into. The interesting part about this report was that it was making the case that tablets will become the primary means of computing. So you'll sit down at your desk and you'll plug in a USB keyboard or plug in a monitor, which is already happening to some extent, especially with Windows 8 running on tablets. But their contention is that the traditional notebook and desktop PC will sort of fade into the background and become less important. Now, in some ways, this could put Microsoft in a great position. You know, Apple is positioning the iPad much more as a consumption device, and that's painting it in very broad strokes. But essentially, it's more in the mobile area. It's tied to iOS, which is more of Apple's mobile operating system. Microsoft, with Windows 8, has said, okay, this operating system can run across PCs, notebooks, and tablets. So if tablets become the primary means of computing, that actually could be a good thing for Microsoft if they can gain some traction against the iPad, which they have yet to do.
Bill Gates, a long time ago, predicted the future would be that computers would be invisible. They would be embedded in the stuff around us.
And you're seeing that happen more and more. Sensors, you know, people go running and, you know, their, you know, Nike, their Nike devices, their Fitbits, all these sorts of devices track what they're doing and then upload it to their computer. So you are seeing that happen to a certain extent.
Does the tablet have the power to be able to be the centerpiece of processing data?
Not yet. So most tablets, including the iPad and the version of Windows that runs on most of the lightweight tablets, it's called Windows RT. It runs on what are called ARM processors. These are designed to generate long battery life at the expense right now of computing power. And for example, if you try a Surface RT tablet from Microsoft and compare it to a Surface Pro, which actually runs on good old-fashioned Intel chips, the Surface Pro is just far and away a better experience. It's faster, it's crisper. I have both, and it's just I don't even use the Surface RT anymore. The Surface Pro is so solid. So right now, a lot of these mobile-oriented tablets are not yet there. They're not at the point where you can really use them in the same way that you can your desktop or your notebook.
Interesting that we're seeing this flow here, this shift. One last quick thing, and then one other thing. So, quick thing: Amazon Kindle Manager predicting will someday be projecting our books on walls.
Yes.
No, he's wrong.
He's wrong. This is a former key member of the Amazon Kindle team who came out with a new book this week called "Burning the Page," and it's a great read. I've actually been reading it on my Kindle Paperwhite, appropriately enough. He projects.
Exactly.
He predicts.
Exactly. You're reading it on a device you carry around and shift in as you shift in your body.
That's right. But he contends that eventually we'll get to the point where we are actually using what's called a Pico projector, small, lightweight, inexpensive projector to project the books onto walls or onto the subway wall across from you or onto the ceiling at night versus the screen in front of you. I sense the skepticism over there.
I'm not even skeptical.
It's like completely unbelievable.
I've got some other technologies I like to show them, starting with DAT tape recorders and...
No, absolutely. Well, here's the thing. The overall trend, whether or not it manifests itself in that way, the overall trend of cheaper and cheaper reading devices and Amazon continuing to make more and more money on the content is very much valid, and that is what we're going to see.
Well,
and that's
that
what
I
they've
get.
Been doing.
Well,
yeah.
That I get.
Yeah.
And that's why the Kindle is being a successful device for them.
Yeah.
Well, what's your GeekWire meetup?
We are recording a version of our radio show tomorrow night at the Hub Seattle in Pioneer Square. This is on stage. Tickets are still available. Just go to GeekWire and check them out. And this is going to be a fun show tomorrow night.
Will there be devices?
There will be devices. We'll be talking with one of the former executives behind Swype, which is the mobile input technology.
Yeah.
He'll be up there talking, Mike McSherry, talking about all sorts of things. We'll be giving away lots of prizes. It's going to be a fun show tomorrow night.
Will there be drinking?
There will be.
Soda or others?
Yes, et cetera.
et cetera. Todd Bishop is one of the co-founders, national editor of GeekWire, the independent technology news site based here, comes in and talks to us about tech. I appreciate it. And he's on Cairo Radio on
the weekends.
On the weekends,
yeah.
That's right. You're on both, that's right.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure.
It's good to see you. Top that.
Guess who's back? Katie Sewell.
You never were gone.
Well, I was gone from that conversation. I didn't pipe in. I was listening, but I wasn't actually talking.
Did anybody tweet you, by the way?
I didn't check in. Right. I didn't live up to my commitment.
All right, sorry. Sorry, we didn't get any multitasking out of Todd. I apologize.
I would like to mention that if you were to call 206-543-9595 right now, you would get to talk to someone from the Washington State Animal Rescue Team.
Do they rescue all kinds of animals?
I don't know.
Cats and dogs, I imagine. But
I would hope that it would extend to, you know, bears, bulls.
Perhaps we will find out. We will go downstairs and ask them.
That raccoon that's on your roof that you're threatening.
Yes, but only with, you know, to get him out of my roof.
Yeah, I know. But still, threatening.
I'm shaking my fist at him.
Yeah, we'll have to go down and talk to them about it. You can talk to them, too, though, if you pick up the phone, call us, 206-543-9595. Remember, we are still working on this pledge drive, and we are not yet done with it.
I also wanted to say that I put on our Facebook page weekday on KUOW a pretty comprehensive list of baseball movies and links. So that was pretty nice. So you could see how many of the baseball movies you've seen and how many you still want to see.
I was thinking, I couldn't even think of more than two baseball movies until that conversation.
There's so many.
And now I realize it's not just A League of Their Own and, The Field of Dreams.
Another fine baseball movie.
Yeah, League of Their Own, by the way. A movie where the women actually had to prove that they could play baseball before they were hired to be in that movie. They had to do all their own stunts, you see. Make it realistic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. 206-543-9595 for all the little nuggets of information like that you didn't know before we said something. You know, we got a pledge here that says we really value weekday. We waited to do our spring pledge. We do the pledge in the fall, too. Ooh, a two-time pledger. During this Wednesday broadcast, though we'd like your new 20-minute segments, we would like to remind you to please do a full-hour broadcast when you can also. Keep that in mind.
Well, we are on for an hour.
Yeah, we are on for it. We're always doing a full
point.
Hour. We're actually doing a
point.
Full 2 hours.
Yeah, we get your point. Pam and I, Mike writes, loved Robert Horton's Celluloid Seattle at the new Mohai. Thanks for the great work you do. Members Mike and Pam Wall, thank you for being members. Thank you for being a part of a community that includes GeekWire's meetup and Robert Horton's framing pictures and what happens at Mohai. We are and when you give blood and when you go to baseball games, you're all part of this community, and this is an integral part of this community, this public radio service. And we come to you twice a year, and we say, you understand, we need your support. This is how we pay for it. We won't be asking you next week, but as one of our emailers said, how often do you pledge when they're not asking during pledge drive? Exactly right. We ask you to do it now. 206-543-9595 1-866-677-5869.
Well, and for those people who are looking for the full hour-long broadcast, I should mention that on next Tuesday, Governor Jay Inslee is going to be on with us for a really long period of time.
He'll take calls. He'll talk.
He'll take calls. He'll be taking emails. All your questions. It's your access to the governor. It's your chance to put your issues in front of the man.
And he's coming on our air, KUOW's air, because he knows he is reaching people he needs to talk to, because you're important people. You're voters. You're informed. You understand the issues. That's why he's coming on our air. That's why you are a listener to this service. If you have not yet pledged your support, this is a great time to do it. We do it because we love it, and we pledge because we're part of the effort to pledge. We're part of the community. We're sculptors, we're painters, and we're building this fine edifice together. I love to imagine the KUOW Pledge Drive Statue Hall. And I am going to go back there after this and see what is being crafted right now by you.
The hall of all the former pledge drives and how they went. And I like to imagine a person like the guard down at Jack Benny's vault in that hall. You know, you open the door during the beginning of the spring pledge drive. He's been in there since the end of the fall, you know, eating roughage from around the corners of the room.
Are we starting another one?
Oh, thank goodness. I thought you'd never come down again. Some of you feel that way about the pledge drive, I'm sure. You just could not wait for us to get started. Why? You jumped on the chance first thing Monday morning to show your support to KUOW. I'm looking for those laggers now, the ones that have yet pledged but mean to. You've thought about it. Let's put those thoughts into action and make that phone ring behind us, 206-543-9595, like Karen did, who said, I was with NPR when I started in Alaska. I followed it down to KUOW in Seattle, and now I'm doing one final donation as my thank you gift before I move to California.
Wow.
Very nice.
How about that for
a
commitment?
Thank you, Karen.
Somebody understanding how important this institution is even after she leaves it. Of course, you can stream it online. That's part of what the service you're paying for as well, to be able to stream it online anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. But also saying to her community, hey, this is an important part of my community, and as I leave, I want it to remain strong. You must have that same feeling because you are listening. But have you pledged? Have you pledged your support to public radio? Are you going to say, oh, they're not talking to me. I ain't pledging. I'm just going to go eat some beans and not donate blood. No. 206. I don't know why
that's a great stereotype of a curmudgeon.
I don't know why that person's eating beans, but there he is. If you haven't pledged, we'd like to hear from you at 206-543-9595 because you're listening to KUOW FM Seattle, KUOW Tumwater, KQOW Bellingham, and Digital HD Services, all services paid for by you.
When you call 1-866-NPR-KOW, that's toll-free, 1-866-677-5869. Like Joanna did, she's been calling that number for the last 30 years. 30-year member.
30-year member.
She always has NPR on.
That's a lot of gold stars on that woman's refrigerator.
Or Barbara from Gig Harbor, who says she also pledges every single year and listens whenever she's at home because she just doesn't have a television.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.